But organizers of the rally say that Bush is the deciding factor of a possible second Korean War, and they will continue to organize civic groups from the two Koreas. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Simba Russo in the Demilitarized Zone, Korea. You're listening to Free Speech Radio News. I'm Amma Bwadi.
Entirely on your support. Please be generous. Thank you very much.
On behalf of the entire staff of WBAI and the Pacifica Network, I'd like to express my sincere regrets for that announcement starting in the middle. And I hope that by talking for a few seconds more, we'll be able to hear the entire thing.
Hi, this is Spike Lee, and you are listening to WBAI, Community Radio in New York City. WBAI exists almost entirely on your support. Please be generous. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. And you're listening to radio station WBAI, where it's 7 o'clock on a Tuesday. I'm sorry, on a Wednesday night. And that means it's time, let's see, what's the time for? Off the Hook, where the button doesn't work. There we go.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Mike on the other side of the studio. How you doing?
Hello.
Skeleton staff tonight, as everybody else is busy living life, I guess. Well, good luck to you all out there. I'm sure everyone's having a great time. But we have work to do. We have a program to share with our listeners. We won't be on next week because of the emergency fundraiser, and that's a direct result of the phone snafu that took place here during our last fundraiser, where we couldn't get phone calls, and that's very bad when you're trying to raise money. People had to come down to the station with money, and not as many people did that as would have called. So please tune in next week, be generous, and help us get to where we need to be gotten to. And I think we're making quite a bit of progress around here. The day will come when things queue up properly, when buttons are hit in the right way, and everything will sound nice and smooth. But, you know, it wouldn't be BAI if it sounded too polished. I think that's an important thing. Funny, the Spike Lee idea. Have you heard this whole Spike Lee controversy?
I haven't, no.
Well, apparently, there's this network. I have to give you a little bit of biographical information about this television network called the Nashville Network, TNN. It was a network about country music. Well, that didn't last forever, and it got taken over by Viacom and turned into something called the National Network. That way they could keep the same letters, TNN. More recently, they decided they wanted to become a primarily for a male audience TV network, as if no such thing already exists. Where I guess they would just do things like heavyweight wrestling and people hitting each other and, you know, running around and sweating, that kind of thing. You know, a man type of a network. Nothing but male type shows. They have something like that in Canada. I think it's called Men TV. But this was going to be a new network designed solely for the male audience. And it was going to be called Spike TV. Supposed to start 2 days ago, Monday. Spike TV. Now, Spike Lee went to court and succeeded in getting them to not change their name to Spike TV because he said people would confuse that TV network with him or think that he's endorsing it somehow. And I could not believe it. I could not believe he actually got away with this, where he's saying it's his first name, which, you know, people don't know him as just Spike, Spike Lee. I mean, he could be talking about Spike Jones. You could be talking about Spike, that character from that stupid cartoon. You know, there's all kinds of things. You could be talking about Railroad Spike. I don't know. There's all different ways you can use, you know, the word. And to say that you can't name a TV network something because that's my first name, it's not even his real first name. I was just pretty amazed by that.
What is his real first name?
That's the trivia question of the night. I know it's something that begins with SH. No, don't give me that look. it's a different kind of a name, but I don't know what it is. I'm sure they could name their network that, but it wouldn't be as much fun. It just, you know, I respect the guy and all that. At least I did until this. This just seems ridiculous. I mean, it's the kind of thing that we're fighting on, you know, the internet and, you know, against the MPAA and RIAA, all this, you know, taking names and saying this is my property and no one else can use this. You know, like Donald Trump is a good example of that. You know, he's using a name that's, you know, part of a card game, you know. And
Trump.
Yeah, and he's using it to play cards in, you know, Atlantic City and wherever else. He has gambling casinos. And somehow he doesn't get in trouble for that. Yet you try using Trump, you know, and you'll get in trouble, even if that's your real name. If your real name is McDonald's, you get in trouble by, you know, McDonald's, you know, the eatery. Put that in quotes. There's all kinds of examples of this.
So, I mean, just recently we got an email saying that there's a car museum in a small town in the Midwest, mm-hmm. the West, somewhere called Volo. And
Volo?
Volo.
Okay.
And they got so they have a website, volocars.org, uh-huh. and they got sued by the Volvo car manufacturing company.
It's not even the same name.
No, but, you know.
And don't forget Mr. Nissan, you know, what he had to go through.
Yes. Whatever happened to him?
I believe he has kept his site, but he's not allowed to do any kind of business on it, which, you know, is absurd. How can you put these kind of regulations on, you know, on someone's livelihood because they share a name with a big corporation, you know? I mean, you know, it's kind of cool, I got to say, to see the individual getting the corporation to change the name for a change. But it doesn't make, you know, the concept any better. You know, you're playing their game, and you're winning at their game, but you're still playing their game. I honestly, you know, I saw lots of comparisons to this. You know, if it was, I think his lawyer was making these statements that, well, you know, somebody named it the Cher Network or the Oprah Network or whatever, they'd be upset at that, too. But, you know, that's different. Cher is not a word. Oprah is not a word. Spike is something that's used many different ways. You hear, you know, those particular names, and it immediately conjures up an image. But, you know, if I go down the street and shout Spike, three people are probably going to turn around. Someone's going to look up in the air thinking something's falling. You know, there's all kinds of possibilities. If I you know, go down the street, though, and, you know, I yell Oprah, believe me, people are going to know what's coming down the street. Yeah. They okay. will. So, anyway, that's all I want to say about that. I wasn't even planning on talking about this. It's just kind of a funny story, I think. And we have lots of sort of funny stories tonight. Actually, I have a demonstration of something I want to show you. An astute listener told me about this, and I don't know if you're aware of this, being a Sprint PCS customer for now. You're still waiting for the day when you can switch.
I think I'm forever waiting on that one.
Well, okay, but, you know, every phone company has its little quirks. And Sprint is one of the ones that has its little quirks.
Sprint has big quirks.
Well, yeah, that's true. Big quirks as well. But we're going to focus on one of the little quirks tonight. Okay, that's a dial tone. We're going to dial my Sprint PCS number. And without Jeff here to hold the phone, I can only guess that my phone call will go through as I dial these numbers very... Okay, there we go. Let's see if it works. You'll hear my greeting followed by what I consider to be the problem. If it ever connects. It's possible one of those numbers didn't go through. It's possible all of those numbers didn't go through.
It's not working.
This is horrible. This is really horrible. Okay, fine. I'll have to start all over again. You want to hold the phone? All right. See, I can't verify that all the numbers go through because if I did that, I'd be broadcasting my phone number over the air. And you know what that would mean. Never-ending calls from curious listeners. Okay. All right. That time I think it went through. Now, let's listen carefully to what happens. Someone calls me and wants to leave a message. What they have to deal with. A lot of rings. Okay.
What the hell do you want?
To leave a voice message.
Okay, that was my greeting.
One, or just wait for
now,
the tone.
Listen to all this you have to deal with.
To send a numeric page, press 2 now.
You know, how long was my greeting? Well, a second.
At
that's
the tone,
she's still talking.
Please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
No, you know, that's a ridiculous amount of time to have to wait to leave a message for somebody, don't you think?
You could have just pressed one.
I could have just pressed one, but I didn't say that to myself. I didn't say, you know, you can press one, and that would have added more time to the message. And why should I be giving instructions on how to make a, you know, how to leave a message on voicemail? Well, an astute listener wrote in. Hang this up. Okay. I have to access it again, though, unfortunately. Let's see. All right. I have to dial the number. It would be nice, a redial button. Okay. Went through that time. If you go into your Sprint voice mailbox, there is what I believe is a new setting. It's either a new setting or something that that we just never noticed before. I should also point out my phone is right here next to the microphone, and it's got signal, but it has not rung once. You know, it's ringing and ringing and ringing. The phone is right here. That's it, hitting the microphone. And it's not ringing. This is proof that when people call you and say your phone rang, you know, 10 times. All right.
Leave a
now,
voice message.
Please don't press that button.
Please enter your passcode, then oops. Press pound.
Okay, I'm going to enter my passcode now. Hopefully I can pull this off.
Should press pound?
I had to press pound after the passcode?
New message.
Okay.
8 saved messages. First new
okay,
message.
This thing
received
plays the messages automatically.
9 p.m.
That's a ridiculous amount of time to have to wait.
That's the message I just left. You'll notice also that our phone number is not transmitted.
So
we don't send caller ID somehow.
One, but I didn't say that to myself.
Message
that.
Saved.
Okay.
First saved message.
Okay, now we're going to go into
messages,
administrative options.
Main menu. To listen to your messages, press 1. To send a message, press 2. To change your personal options, press 3. To place a call, press 8. To exit, press star.
Okay, we're going to hit 3.
For notification options, press 1. For administrative options, press 2. For greetings, press 3.
That's the one.
To change your main greeting, press 1. To change your recorded name,
press 2. Change the main greeting. That's where you find it.
To record a personal greeting, press 1. To select the system standard greeting, press 2. To add or remove the caller instructions that are played after your greeting, press 3.
That's the one.
Return to the after your greeting, the following instructions can be played. To leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone. To send a numeric page, press 2 now. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options. If you want these instructions to be played, press 1. If you do not want these instructions to be played, press 2.
Guess what I'm going to press?
I can't fathom.
Instructions to the caller will not be played after your greeting.
Okay.
For notification options, press...
The reign of terror has ended. You know, I thought that was very confusing the way she was saying it because it's the same voice. You know, she was playing the instructions, quoting herself, and then saying, do you want me to say this? And some people might have a big problem figuring out when she stopped talking. All right, now let's make sure it worked. And you'll see what the difference is. Okay, this is hopefully the last time I have to dial this number on the air. Our phone number is Bentley 212-209-2900. If you have observations about your phone system or technology and things like that. Again, the phone is ringing. My phone is right here, and it's not ringing.
What the hell do you want?
Isn't that so much better?
You should do that all the time. It only took, 5 minutes?
Well, it took a while, yeah. It's a bit of an investment, and I'm sorry to have to drag everybody through that with me. But I also should point out that Sprint doesn't tell you this. At least I've never seen anything. It took an astute listener telling us this to tell us the facts. Also, another astute listener... our own Junes, in fact, told me that as of, I believe, 2 days ago, T-Mobile... Oh, look, I got voicemail. How about that? I can get a voicemail alert, but I can't get a ring. All right, I'm turning this off. apparently as of Monday, T-Mobile phones can also use the AT&T network, the AT&T GSM network. Now, I haven't been able to do this myself, but he's over in New Jersey, and he's been moving around to places that seem to have AT&T signal but not T-Mobile signal, and apparently it's possible to switch from one to the other and actually make an AT&T call. I'm not sure how it's going to be billed. And he also told me that *123 does not work to get voicemail when he's on the AT&T network, which would make sense if you actually were on the AT&T network. He dialed, I believe, 611 to, or no, he dialed 411, and was able to get an AT&T information operator who was able to switch him to customer service. So he's definitely using the AT&T network, and apparently the AT&T network has been opened up to T-Mobile customers, which I think is a first, you know, for this kind of a thing in this country. And I think it's also something that's not done in other countries, where if you have a local contract with a company, you can't use other local companies. You can roam in different countries and use different companies, but not in your home country. So very, very interesting to see where this goes. And if
what about the other way around?
That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm wondering, if AT&T will have its customers using T-Mobile as well. We'll just have to see. But I haven't been able, every time I try to switch to AT&T, it just goes back to T-Mobile. In fact, my phone says VoiceStream still. So I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting an equal signal from both here in New York. It's hard to say for sure. So if you have any observations with your phone company, whether it be land-based phones or digital cellular phones or whatnot, write to us, oth@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. And, of course, our phone number, 212-209-2900. We'll be taking your phone calls in just a few minutes. Let's see, I mentioned this on the other show yesterday, which is Off the Wall. That's on WUSB in Stony Brook every Tuesday at 6, and you can hear that on the Internet as well, www.2600.com. I mentioned this story about the intelligent seats. Have you heard about this on airplanes?
Intelligent seats.
Yeah, intelligent seats could soon be informing airline crews whether a passenger is a nervous flyer or potential terrorist or has been sitting still too long and could be at risk of developing blood clots. It's true. A company called Quinitic, which sounds like Native American language, but I don't think it is. It was set up last year in a part privatization of Britain's former Defense Evaluation and Research Agency. They say the system could have a display that is only accessible to the cabin crew to warn if a passenger's behavior is out of the ordinary, and then the crew can decide what to do about it. I don't know what you can do if you decide someone's a risk
at
30,000 feet. Well, apparently it monitors your ass. I mean, that's what it does. There's no question about it. It monitors your ass. What else could it best be? You're sitting on it, okay?
But terrorists have different
sitting
patterns.
Have to say it that way. It's just the way it is. Well, apparently, if you're a terrorist, your pulse would probably be racing. Your sweat glands might be doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. There's a lot you can read by someone's body in that particular position, apparently. They monitor temperature, skin moisture. I mean, you know, how are you going to have your skin moisture being monitored unless you're strapped in with all kinds of, sensors taped to you? And it's going to make flying into an even more stressful experience than it is right now. And, you know, that in itself, knowing that you're being monitored, I don't know about you, but that makes me a bit nervous, just knowing people are watching and thinking about what it is that you're thinking. So, yeah, right away, I know I'm already being targeted, but right away, you know, I'll be targeted even more because of the reaction I have to that kind of a thing. They say this is part of a bigger project to make airline cabins more friendly. And get this, they have lights that will dim when you fall asleep. So it'll know when you fall asleep, and the lights will dim. And you'll be able to know when your fellow passengers have fallen asleep, so you can strike at that particular moment.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So it kind of cuts both ways for the terrorists.
It sure does. It's just about everything else. And, of course, first-class passengers will be getting this before anyone.
So terrorists don't fly first class.
No, that never happens. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Now, there's a lawsuit. Judge has approved a settlement agreement in a music antitrust lawsuit that will result in more than 3.5 million consumers receiving nearly $13 each. Not enough to buy a CD, but it's something, I guess. Judge D. Brock Hornby issued a 51-page ruling on Friday in the case that began in 1996 when attorneys general across... It's always hard to say that. I always want to say attorney generals, but it's attorneys general across the country... began investigating whether distributors and retailers had conspired to inflate CD prices. This settlement will put cash in the hands of millions of consumers and music CDs in libraries and schools throughout the country, and will ensure that the challenged distributor/retailer practices will not resume. The ruling, however, does not stipulate exactly how much consumers will receive or when the checks will be distributed. More than 3.5 million consumers filed claims, now estimated at $12.63 each. Wow. Hornby asked lawyers to present him with a report by the end of the month on how much it will cost to distribute the checks and how much each check will be. The lawsuit was signed by the attorneys general of 43 states and territories, consolidated in Portland in October 2000. It accused major record labels and large music retailers facing competition from discounters like Target and Walmart of conspiring to set minimum music prices. The defendants were Sony Music, EMI, Warner, Electric, Atlantic, Universal, and retailers Tower Records, Musicland Stores, and Transworld Entertainment. They all deny any wrongdoing, even though they're going to be shelling out. And attorneys representing, get this, attorneys representing the companies declined to testify in court. The attorneys declined to testify.
Well,
yeah.
Are they actually going to lower the CD prices or just send
no, a check? No, you know what else? They're of the total settlement, the total settlement being, what did I say it was?
$12.
No, the total, what was the total amount? I don't see a total. I thought I saw a total before. Okay. Well, basically, of the total settlement, $75.7 million would be distributed in the form of 5.6 million CDs sent to libraries and schools. So basically, they're just sending free CDs to these libraries and schools to settle that part of it. And $44 million, okay, will be distributed to the public. So more of it is going out in the form of free promotion.
Now, when they record quote companies. $75 million, are they quoting that, you know, at $15 a CD, or what it's actually costing them?
I don't think I don't think anybody knows what it really costs them. I think they're basing this on the retail price of a CD as well. That's what I think. But, you know, people will be getting checks for $12.63 and thinking that something was accomplished.
You know, I've moved since I filled out that form. I hope I get my
check. Oh, you filled out the form?
I filled out the form.
Well, yeah. You're going to be getting a check then.
Well, I might not. I've moved.
Do you have a forwarding order on your...
The post office. They're not so good at this whole mail delivery thing.
Okay. Well, you know, speaking of airplanes, have you heard about the whole David Nelson story?
Yeah.
You've heard about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, if your name is David Nelson...
A lot of people are named David Nelson.
You are screwed if your name is David Nelson. In fact, let's just do a little survey here. Let's get a Verizon advisor on the phone here, a Verizon consultant that will help us here. David Nelson. Of course, it takes 20 minutes for it to connect to information. Used to be able to dial 411 instantly.
What
somebody
city?
Would
answer.
New York City.
What listing?
David Nelson.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Please wait. An operator will assist you with that information.
An operator would have been done by now.
Thank you for continuing to hold.
Oh, not
your
a problem.
Call will be directed to the first available operator.
There's only three of them left.
One moment. An operator will be with you shortly.
How many ways can she say it? Your call is very important to us.
Thank you for holding.
Oh, yep. She found another way. Oh, there we go. And now they're playing back. Hi.
Sorry? And that was David Nelson?
Yes.
Do you have a straight address?
No, I don't. Are there a lot of David Nelsons?
There are.
More than three?
Oh, definitely.
More than 10?
Yeah.
About how many would you say there are?
I would say there's 50 there, 55, 56.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, then I guess I better get some more information on this David
Nelson.
Is it
just in the 212 area code you want it, or is it all through the suburbs?
I was thinking 212.
Okay, in the 212, I've got three there.
Oh, there's only three in 212, so most of them
I'm
are
still
spread
looking.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got four.
See, he moves around a lot, so he could
I've
be anywhere.
I've got five in the 212.
Okay, five in the 212. Okay,
uh-huh.
Well, I still got to narrow it down then.
Okay.
All right, thanks so much for your help.
Is there anything else?
Have they downsized you guys a lot? Are there very many of you left?
Mm.
These computers are annoying.
Well, it's what it is, and it just really makes it faster for you, and I know they are annoying, and I do agree with you,
mm-hmm.
but... we hear the recording before you come on with us, so by the time you come to us,
mm-hmm.
we can generally have your listing ready, or pretty well. You know, I can say, hey, I've got 70 David Nelsons, which
yeah.
one would you like? You know, it's just a quicker, it's just a time thing.
But, you know, back in the old days when an operator picked up, they'd get the information so much quicker than these machines did.
Yeah, because they didn't say, what city?
Yeah, and they don't
and
understand you.
And then wait 2 hours and say, what listing?
They don't understand what you're saying, and it took all these recordings before we finally got a human. They said, please hold,
yeah.
sorry for the wait, you know, and that's because
well,
there's less
you
of
always,
you.
Now, we've actually, they've done some stuff with us, and we always have to and not acknowledge every call.
Mm-hmm.
We always have to say thank you, you know, hope for your listing. We can't just send, you know, we used to be able to just send them straight automated.
Oh, so
you never
have
had to have any contact with us if we were fast enough.
Right.
But now it's where we always, I mean, you should always actually hear a live person, so.
So there's always human contact now. That's
yes.
good. That's
yes.
good.
There should always be. You know, you should always have some kind of contact with us and, you know, have a split second. You know, you got to be fast.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Because if we say thank you, you know, if your listing's right there and we say thank you and it's gone, you know, but if you need to talk to us, you know, it's... And
yeah.
then, of course, you can always just say operator to the machine.
Oh, really? Okay, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, you just say operator and then, you know, as soon as we hear operator, we'll just come right on and take it.
Okay. I don't want to get you in trouble because I know they time you, right?
Well, I'm doing really good today, but...
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks
you
so
have a
much.
Good day.
You too.
Bye.
So nice to talk to a human being at the phone company, isn't it?
They have human beings.
They're still there. The humans are still there. And, you know, they do get in trouble if they talk to people too much. But, you know, I think it makes all the difference to have that human contact. And I'm glad we reach people that, you know, that understand that.
So there are five.
What? Oh, yeah.
David Nelsons.
I got kind of sidetracked. Yeah. There's a lot of David Nelsons. And if your name is David Nelson and you're listening to us now, no, we're not going to call you, so don't be nervous. You have enough to worry about. Here's the story. Throughout Southern California, across the country, men named David Nelson report they have been harassed, questioned by FBI agents, pulled off airplanes, searched, and then searched again when attempting to board airliners. Caught up in a nationwide dragnet for a terrorist by that name, David Nelsons everywhere are being told their names raise red flags on airline screening software. The government, however, maintains that the problem is essentially a computer glitch the airlines must solve. It was such a fiasco, David Nelson of Hollywood said recently of his most recent attempt at flying. The 35-year-old actor said he was headed to Hawaii on vacation and handed his driver's license to a ticket agent at LAX who blurted out, "Oh boy, here's another David Nelson." She told me there's some terrorist with that name or something. That name brings a red flag. Only a few months earlier, Nelson was settling into a seat on a New York-bound airplane when a voice called out, "David Nelson, please exit the plane." Within moments, FBI agents surrounded him, asked him to remove his shoes, and searched his carry-on bags again. He eventually was allowed to reboard, but he said, "When you get back on the plane, people look at you funny." So when Nelson was stopped again on his Hawaii-bound flight, he said he felt intensely frustrated. Security guards searched him head to toe at the gate and then insisted on doing it again before he could board. And that's when Nelson said he turned around, abandoned his vacation, and walked out. He hasn't flown since. Even Ozzy and Harriet's son has been a victim in the case of mistaken David Nelsons. That's right, their last name was Nelson, wasn't it?
Mm.
Now a film producer living in Newport Beach, David Nelson, a star of ABC TV's The Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet, a family sitcom that ran from 1952 to 1966, he was stopped by a ticket agent at John Wayne Airport. Boy, could this get any more Americana. Back in December, while on his way to visit his daughter in Salt Lake City, while waiting, the 66-year-old Nelson chatted with two Laguna Beach police officers who knew him and who asked the ticket agent, "Don't you know who this guy is?" But they were met by a blank stare from the agent. After some checking, the officers told Nelson that evidently the name David Nelson is on the terrorist list. Nelson replied, "I don't think terrorists have the middle name Ozzy, but I'll stay right here." Eventually, he was allowed to board his flight. So basically, what does this all mean? Well, apparently, someone named David Nelson once barged into an airplane cockpit. That's according to airline officials. Now, here's what I don't understand. If somebody named David Nelson did that, I assume they detained him. And they know where that person is. That person is either in prison for doing that, or that person is under some kind of watch because he's mentally unstable or potential terrorist or whatever. So if they know where this person is, why in God's name are they stopping other people who are definitely not that person? Does that make any sense?
Does anything in this system make sense?
No, it doesn't. But this, I think, underlines how bad the system really is. Where
I read that one of the David Nelsons was able to defeat this waiting in line by changing his ticket reservation to Nelson David.
There you go. That's a devious mind at work. Now, yeah, I should be able to change my name to Osama bin Laden and board an airplane without people looking funny at me. All right, maybe they'll look funny at me, but I shouldn't be stopped because it's just a name. It's not an identity. It's not, you know, just because you share a name with somebody and obviously not the same characteristics or history.
I wonder if there is anyone by that name.
Well, we're not going to call information for that. We'll get into a much longer conversation with him if we try to look up that name. Update on the MTV situation. A lot of people wrote in about this. We mentioned this last week where some people were registering for MTV.com, and suspicion was that if they mentioned that 2600 was one of their interests, that they were basically censored. Well, not if censored is the right word, but it was that part of their profile was sort of erased or made unseeable. This person writes in, we have many people who also wrote in saying basically the same thing. After listening to Off the Hook Live, I decided to try this for myself. I tried to make my profile as simple as possible to narrow down exactly what they don't approve of. And I got the exact same notice, which is shown below. I logged in to view/edit my profile. The only section of my profile that was hidden was the section referencing 2600. It contained the sole word 2600.com. While this was not explicitly pointed out in the notice, silence speaks volumes. I emailed the postmaster requesting who to get in contact with to see why this was such a big deal. I doubt I'll get a response. We'll see. I fail to see how 2600 violates guidelines. This is what the terms of service say. Rules of conduct. Your use of the site is subject to all applicable local, state, national laws and regulations, and in some cases, international treaties. You are solely responsible for all activities, acts, and omissions that occur in, from, through, or under your username or password. You shall not use, allow, enable others to use the site, or knowingly condone use of this site by others in any manner that is, attempts to, or is likely to affect us adversely or reflect negatively on us, the site, our goodwill, name, or reputation, or cause duress, distress, or discomfort to us or anyone else, or discourage any person, firm, or enterprise from using all or any portion, features, or functions of the site, or from advertising, linking, or becoming a supplier to us in connection with the site. And the message that this person received from the MTV community moderator, Dear user, thanks for creating a profile on MTV.com. A moderator has reviewed it and found that either the scoop or interest section is not in line with MTV.com's community guidelines. Until you edit the non-compliant sections, that part of your profile will be hidden from other site visitors. Please review the community guidelines at www.mtv.com/sitewide/mtvinfo/guidelines.jhtml. Then come back and fix your profile at http://www.mtv.com/community. We look forward to seeing your full profile completed. Thanks, MTV.com. So, okay, last week it was a theory. This week it's a fact that MTV.com does not like 2600. And if you even mention 2600, you will have those words hidden. I don't know what to do at this point. I mean, I don't know if this qualifies as slander, as some kind of harassment. I mean, people are able to say all kinds of things as their interests, you know, all kinds of devious things that, you know, parents might have a problem with. But this is MTV, for God's sake. They're supposed to be, you know, cool to the kids out there. And to simply say that anything having to do with knowledge, computer hacking knowledge, I mean, you know, schools stop their students from getting to our site. I find a big problem in that because there's nothing on our site that gives instructions on how to break into things, you know, which apparently is you know, what they're all upset about. There's nothing there. That's not what the site is. The magazine has all kinds of articles that talk about security holes and things like that. The website is not a duplication of the magazine. The website is completely different. The website has news stories. The website has copies of this radio show. They have, you know, announcements about the conferences and meetings and, you know, pictures and all kinds of things like that. How is that a threat? It seems like the very idea of what we stand for is a threat to MTV. I'll tell you right now, MTV is not going to be getting any more interviews from 2600-related people. they're always coming after 2,600 people to talk to them because, well, gee whiz, we're so hip and cool and in, you know, in the scene and all that kind of thing, you know. Could you please, you know, put on rollerblades and go down the street and we'll film that. Well, I think we need MTV a whole lot less than they need shots like that, and I think they also need to address this issue because it's annoying. It's annoying. It's offensive. And I urge our listeners to not let up on this. Let us know what you find out, and we'll look into this ourselves some more. This person writes in from Europe. I just want to inform you the essence of DMCA is spreading to Europe as well. A new European Union directive forces all nations to legislate against illegal software, including CASA and DECSS. And of course, you've got to put illegal in super quotes there. You can read my translation from the official Swedish Department of Justice site at http://justitie.regeringen.se/index.htm. New regulations for protection against technical measures are introduced. The regulations imply that it will become a crime to construct or sell products or supply any service to circumvent digital or analog protection or other technical measure that prevents or obstructs copying or sharing of copyrighted material to the public. The circumvention itself will also be forbidden. With this in mind, it's interesting to note the current fee for buying recordable media in Sweden. Every sold blank CDR gives approximately, approximately a dollar, I think it says here. It's $1/7. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe a seventh of a dollar? $1/7. I don't really know. Higher for CDRW and DVD are to the Swedish music industry in spite of its use. This fee will be raised in 2004 to adjust to the digital development. Other media, like MP3 players, could be taxed, really a fee, not a formal tax, the same way in the future, according to the Department of Justice. And this is called TCPA. So that's disturbing. And it's especially disturbing.
Can't even flee the country anymore.
Yeah, it's especially disturbing because of the European Union, you know, being able to impose this, you know, this law across the board, you know, to countries all throughout Europe, with more countries joining. This is the downside to that kind of a thing. You know, you have unjust laws passed, and they're everywhere before you know it. All right, we'll keep people updated on that as well. Let's see, we have an article in USA Today that Mike here is in. Interesting. Now, this is about cell phone texting.
Texting.
I thought
you promised never to say texting.
Well, it's in the story. I have to say it now. Text messaging combines the portability of cell phones with the convenience of email and instant messaging. Though it's still fairly new in the USA, many cell phone users are getting hooked. San Francisco businessman Stephen Chan likes texting so much that he... I don't even put it in quotes anymore. It's just a regular word. He asks people... Who need to reach him urgently to send text messages rather than calling. He uses texting where phones won't do, in bars, in class, on dates with his girlfriend. She doesn't like it, but he tells him that texting is better than talking. Okay. And in his car, he can send a list of automated responses that he has programmed into his phone, such as, yes, no, call me, and we'll call you later. But, says author and longtime internet watcher Howard Rheingold, there are a lot of circumstances in which making a mobile phone call is a little intrusive. I'm 15 minutes late, or let's meet at this place instead of that place. There's kind of a niche for a certain kind of message that people send all the time, which they're a little reluctant to make a telephone call, but they're not reluctant to send a text message. Now, to skip through all this USA Today nonsense, the New York City Independent Media Center experimented with text messages during anti-war protests this year. About 300 people who had signed up were sent text messages during a protest in New York City, March 22nd, so they could get live updates about what was happening elsewhere along the protest route. Riot police just arrived at Washington Square, said one message at 2:50 p.m. People in the streets called in information in the office, and from there it was forwarded to a list of subscribers. We thought of this as a way to get information to people when they're not in front of the computer, when they're at the protest, Indy Media's Mike here said.
Did I say that?
You said that, yeah. It gives people information when they're deciding what to do next. And that was the last word of the article, in fact.
Mm.
So you set up that system, right? You set up the system at Indy Media to send out text messages to people. How did it go overall?
I mean, it worked on that day. What did they say, the 22nd of March?
Yeah, March 22nd.
And then we tried it again on the shortly thereafter, maybe the 27th, and it didn't work.
Was it because there was no demonstration on the 27th?
No, there was technical issues, and I was busy at the time.
Uh-huh.
And there hasn't been anything really of that scale since. So.
How does it actually work?
All of the American phone company, cellular phone, whatever they're really called, companies,
mm-hmm.
Have systems where you can email, email your 80-character message to this thing, and it eventually make its way to the phone. So we set up a system where people could sign up, type in their phone number, and it, you know, converts mm-hmm. that to the email address. And then someone, an editor-type person, can type in the message, and it will go out to all the subscribers.
Is it like a major domo type of mailing list type of thing that it does?
It's similar in principle.
Uh-huh. Now, there's all different phone companies. I remember you had a list of a whole lot of phone companies. And don't they all have different ways of doing this?
It's all slightly different. Singular is especially annoying because they have... It depends on the state, and some states are split into two, and...
Uh-huh.
Someone on the internet compiled all this. Fortunately, I didn't have to do it. But
but most of the phones were in New York, weren't they? Did you have to worry about people in California, what their rules were?
I mean, for completeness, kind of.
Were there a lot of people from out of the area that wanted those text messages, too? I mean, anyone in the world could have gotten them.
There were some. I mean, there were people from out of town who were in town on that day. There were people who live in this city who just have random phone numbers.
There were also people sitting at home in, you know, Ohio that were just curious what was going to happen.
Yeah, so, and all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't talk to all of them. You know, it'd be kind of rude to call them up, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Now, did you make use of the SMS system on GSM, or did you use email on the GSM system?
We used the email.
Okay. Why wouldn't the SMS work? It seems like it's made for that kind of a thing.
It is an SMS.
Uh-huh.
It's just the phone companies have, like, T-Mobile has a email to SMS gateway, essentially.
Okay.
For their customers. This is different than the way it works in Europe, where the sender pays for the SMS.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a couple of people from Europe emailed, you know, saying, how can we do this? Because people in Europe, like, actually know what SMS is.
Right.
But, you know, all solutions seem to indicate that they would have to pay for the privilege of sending out the messages, which is, you know, no one has that kind of money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it seemed to work pretty well. I'm sure it could work better. And it's a good way to convey messages to large amounts of people. It did take a while for the messages to get down sometimes, depending on the phone, I guess. And I was getting messages the next day, too.
Yeah, I mean, so, it depended on the phone, the carrier, like where you were standing at that particular moment, the mood of our server, you know.
Right. Was it possible for other people to send messages from other locations, or could it only be done from one area?
I mean, the way we set up this particular system, because if you had, you know, 300 people all sending messages to each other, it would quickly get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So we had kind of an editorial team, which was also updating the website.
Okay. And I imagine access to the list of phone numbers was something that was protected.
Yes.
So not anybody could just get in
and
do that.
And, you know, in case anyone signed up and is now concerned, we have deleted all the phone numbers that we had.
Good. Okay. And I imagine this is something that's going to be very useful for RNC next year. God knows what's going to be happening in this city. We probably, if anyone out there wants to help out with this project, I'm sure we could certainly use it. One thing, though, I know we've demonstrated this before with Sprint PCS. In order to read the equivalent of SMS messages, don't you have to log on to that thing and pay by the minute just to read them?
Now, Sprint has two types of SMS messages.
Okay.
One is the send and receive kind that we've demonstrated on this show. And another is a receive-only kind where you get it's phone number at messaging.sprintpcs.com. You pay $2 a month for this service, and it just comes right onto your phone like it should, rather without this whole wireless web nonsense.
Okay. Is that what shows up on... it's the equivalent of getting a new voicemail message, except it's actually like a page? Is that something else?
Page/text is the label on my phone.
Okay, because it usually just says, please call, and I think that's the default.
Right, that's when you get paged.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that thing, but if you sign up for this service, you can get arbitrary text.
But you have to sign up for the service.
As far as I know.
Okay. Fascinating, but seems like it worked pretty well. And I'm kind of surprised USA Today took an interest, but maybe it'll inspire some more people. All right, 212-209-2900 is our phone number. What's on your mind? Any questions, observations, comments, that kind of a thing? We're on until 8 o'clock. We won't be on next week because of the emergency fundraiser, but we will be on again in 2 weeks with all kinds of updates as to what else is happening in this magical world of technology. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I noticed that you talk about all sorts of things like Spike Lee and AOL and so on. And, you know, I had my freedom of speech violated on Al Lewis's...
You know, what is, you a recording? Are you a recording? I mean, this is ridiculous. This guy never stops. The same thing. The thing is, he's an intelligent guy. He could have something to say about the issue that we're talking about instead of always having to criticize another radio show on this station. Does he call Al Lewis and say, I had my rights violated, I'm off the hook? That's what, I just want to know that. You know, I'm never up early enough to listen to Al Lewis because he's on at noon.
You could tape it.
Yeah, I could tape it. You're right. You're right. But anyway, call back, have something to say about what we're talking about, and your freedom of speech will be honored because that's what we're trying to do here is talk about issues. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to call him. Yeah, I'm happy I was here about AT&T being available on T-Mobile. I work at in Valhalla, New York, and the AT&T signal overwhelms it. I get the message, forbidden net.
Forbidden net, huh?
Right.
And have you tried it? Does it work?
Not for a few weeks, but the last time I tried it, that's exactly what I got.
But have you tried it since you heard that it might be working?
No, I just heard it on your show right now. I'm going to try it tomorrow.
Okay, let us know what you find out, because, you know, like I said, I've tried it, and it hasn't worked. I'm not sure how to tell the signal strength of one company versus another, because I just get, you know, the signal strength on my phone, and it tells me the available networks, but I don't think it tells me the signal strength of those networks.
Right, I just switch over to the different nets, but I don't... Yes, the AT&T comes and fills up the bars, while the T-Mobile is one and a half.
How is it that you're able to differentiate the signal strength? Well, you went in a choose network menu and
tell
you the signal strength too.
Yes.
Okay.
It could be a different handset. I don't know.
Maybe I just didn't realize that it was telling me the signal strength as well. I thought it was just listing the networks. So I'll check it again.
Okay. Well, thanks again for the tip. We sure do appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Let us know how it works out.
Yeah. Also. I mean, I'm going to drive all over the place and try to figure it out myself. If anybody knows, like, where AT&T signal is dominant and T-Mobile's is not, I think they share towers, so that's going to be kind of difficult to find a place like that. But if anyone knows, I'll go there and I'll test it. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you, Emmanuel?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Spike Lee's first name is Shelton.
Shelton, thank you.
He graduated John Dewey High School a year after I did. I graduated in 1974, and he graduated in 75.
Mm-hmm.
Although I didn't know him. I would have liked to have known him, but I found out later that we graduated a year apart. I just switched to Singular in New York, and they're offering pretty generous amounts of minutes, but they're piggybacking onto T-Mobile because they're not set up yet.
Right. Oh, they're going to be set up.
Yeah.
They're going to have their own network, so it won't be piggybacking anymore?
Apparently, they're going to... They say they're building towers.
Oh, okay. So there'll be three companies to choose from.
Yeah. And I've tried them all. Kind of following your lead, I started with AT&T and then went to Sprint and then to Verizon. And then, I mean, I don't mind switching my phone number each year. I always, you know, switch to the plan that's got the most generous... batch of minutes and whatever the free phone is.
You know, it's the people trying to reach you that would be inconvenienced, and there's not like there's a forwarding message on the old number.
Well, I use call forwarding from home to my cell phone.
Okay.
So people call my home. But the thing is, because of this this sharing, when people call my my home number forwarded to my cell phone with Singular, it rings the phone and I can answer it, but when it goes to voicemail, because of the switch... it doesn't go to my voicemail. It asks for the 10-digit number. It doesn't recognize it somehow.
Yeah, I had that problem too. that's a pain.
That's a pesky problem. I can't conquer that.
Is that a particular company that does that, or all of them?
No, Singular. All the others work okay.
Only Singular does that. Okay,
yeah.
That's worth a call to their tech department because that's.
I discussed it with them, and they said If somebody calls your cell phone number, of course it'll go to voicemail when necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But if call forwarding is on and they call your home number and it's forwarded, it won't because they're sharing T-Mobile stuff. That's
the reason.
Yeah.
Interesting. I used to have that trouble with OmniPoint, I remember. But it went away.
I was never an OmniPoint customer. I was a VoiceStream customer soon afterward. But thank you for your show. You're doing a great job. I never miss it.
All right. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Take care. And when I say there's going to be three companies, I mean, of course, three GSM companies, which I think is a good number of competing GSM companies instead of just competing technologies. Sprint PC has a different technology, as is Verizon and various other companies out there that offer cell phone service. You can't just switch companies without switching phones as well. GSM, though, you can. GSM, in fact, you can take your SIM card and put it in someone else's phone, and your phone is over there then, which is really cool. Sprint, you have to go to their store and buy another phone and then pay a fee to turn it on? That's insane. I mean, you got around that somehow, but I didn't.
I didn't do anything special. Gave them lots of money, though, so...
Well, maybe that's how you do it. I don't know. I had to give them lots of money, too, so I think that's what it boils down to. All right, see who else is out there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, my question... I listened to your show last week, and you had the guy on, and he was in China, I believe.
Yes.
And he was going to use one SIM in the phone, two SIMs. But the problem is here, the phone's SIMs are locked. How do you get them unlocked?
Yeah, I know. That is a big problem. You're in the United States?
Yes.
I know there are places that claim they can unlock them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's something that the companies really need to make it a policy where, you know, the SIMs are not, you know, are not...
Well, they lock them that way so that you have to rely on that company.
Right. I know. And I think as people travel around more, that'll become, you know, less logical a position right. for them to take.
Because your last customer's mentioned Singular. Mm-hmm. Now, I have Singular, and they said no roaming business.
Yeah.
Don't believe it.
Really? How so?
Because if you're traveling and the screen goes Singular extended, you're roaming.
Really?
I found that out the hard way with an $1,100 phone bill.
And they say that they don't have roaming.
That's right.
So how do they justify this? Did you ask them?
I was on the phone with them for a long time, and what they said was that because it's Singular extended means they're using somebody else's network, so you're not on Singular network. And the solution is to power your phone on and off until it just says Singular.
And just keep powering it on and off. That's their
until
solution.
Until it gets to Singular. And I says, I don't buy that.
Yeah. I wouldn't buy them either.
No, well, you're stuck with it for the contract unless you want to pay the cancellation fee.
Yeah. But, you know, if you yell enough, I think you can get out of the contract, too, if you really feel like you've been wronged and threatened to write letters and things like that. So it's a question of how much it means to you.
Well, they took the fees away.
Uh-huh. All right. Hey, thanks for the info.
Have a good night.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Let's go up here. And good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello. This is Jay.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Yeah, fine. I'm calling from Michigan, and I had a comment about the names thing.
Okay.
Yeah, well, my name is Jihad.
Your name is Jihad, which I understand is a very common name.
Yes, it is actually a common name, but I am Arabic, and I kind of have trouble with that name everywhere I go, and it's kind of funny.
What kind of reaction do you typically get from people?
Well, actually, let's like say, for example, 2 weeks ago, I got stopped by a police officer, and he told me that, well, you made a wrong turn there. I said, yes, and he goes, well, I'm going to let you go, but he said, what's your name? I go, Jihad.
He pulled his gun.
No, he said, oh, boy. He said, can I see your license? I had to run a few checks. I go, all right, sure, I give it to him. He comes back after like 10 minutes, and he said, okay, you can go. So it's kind of... goes through even at school, you know. I go by Jay, so you know, I don't get any.
I guess Jay would be less objectionable, but did the cop run your info because your name was Jihad?
Yeah, I'm sure he ran the family's info. I'm sure he ran my grandparents, like everything they can find because of my name was Jihad. So in Michigan, it's kind of like a routine, you know.
Uh-huh. Has it been any kind of like really unpleasant type of things happening?
In Michigan, well,
as far as because of your name,
well, just a few comments at school, you know, nothing more than that, you know, Wayne State University, you know, little comments here and there, but nothing, you know, major.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think education is like the best, the best weapon against this type of thing.
They don't. A lot of people in Michigan or like in Detroit, maybe to be precise, they're very ignorant. They don't like to learn.
Uh-huh.
And we try to explain to them, you know, how things work and how people have their friends and stuff like that. They don't want to hear it because, you know, there's so much like racial, you know, people just don't like each other here.
I don't think that's unique to Detroit.
Yeah.
Did you say Detroit or Michigan?
No, Detroit. In Detroit.
Are you near the riots that are going on in Michigan? I understand.
I actually just read up on it right now on Yahoo. There was something about a motorcycle accident, I guess. And,
well, apparently a high-speed chase was going on in, where was it, Benton Harbor? Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And this innocent person was killed by the cops because they were racing around trying to find somebody.
Yeah.
And that got a lot of people very angry, and there's been rioting, and there's a curfew now, and it's a whole big mess.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about it outside on the street. You know, I went out to school today, and nobody said anything about it. I just came home today.
Uh-huh.
It's like it's just a different, you know, just a regular day. There's nothing really different about it.
Yeah.
That's a good show you got there, Daniel.
Thanks, and good luck with your name. Don't ever change your name. You know, a lot of people would do that. Yeah.
I'm proud of it, and you know, I just hope people understand that it's just a name. It doesn't mean that you know, maybe my parents called me that, but
uh-huh.
It's not my fault, and I'm just an American like everybody else is.
Well, thanks for letting us know everything.
All right. No problem. All right, bye-bye.
I know a few weeks ago I expressed surprise at the name Jihad. I didn't realize how common it was, you know, and I stand corrected on that. So it's hopefully people will become a bit educated about such things. Let's see if we can take one more phone call. And good evening. You're on the air. Oh, no, it's not the one to take, is it? Let's try this one. Good evening. You're on the air. The same person over here. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
I was just wondering if you've ever heard of the Super DMCA.
Yeah, we've mentioned in passing a couple of times the Super DMCA, which what is that, Mike? Is that the state versions of it? Or?
Yeah, it's going state by state right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just heard about that on some tech TV show, and I think that's kind of silly. I mean, to say that the phone or your cable provider, your internet provider, can regulate what you have in your house hooked up to your, you know, your computer, your TV,
mm-hmm.
and then prosecute you criminally because you have something that can quote unquote circumvent copyright. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it totally is. As is every element of the DMCA, and we have to continue to fight to get this thing overturned, repealed, sent back, because it's completely not right. It's infringing on freedom of speech everywhere. It benefits all the wrong people and organizations, and it really puts a lot of things that we do in jeopardy, a lot of good things that we do. Thanks for the call, though.
Yeah, and great radio show. It's
thanks.
Nice to hear some of the stuff actually getting out to people.
Well, it's good to have people out there that we can get it out to.
All right,
take care. We won't be on next week, as we mentioned, because of the emergency fundraiser. We urge people to call in and support the station and keep us going, so we'll continue to be that voice for you out there in future years. And we'll be back again in 2 weeks with all kinds of other exciting updates. Off the Wall next Tuesday night at 6. Go to the website for that or listen to the station out on Long Island. And for Mike, this is Emmanuel. Have yourselves a good night. See you in a couple of weeks.
African American Heritage Celebration Coalition proudly presents Westchester County's African American Heritage Day Celebration. There'll be live music, dance, drama, art, children's activities, ethnic food vendors, and also special commentary by Camille Yarbrough. This event will take place Sunday, June 29th from 12 noon to 7 p.m. at the Canisco Dam Plaza. For more information, call 914-378-3283. Again, that's 914-378-3283. Go!